Father, we come to you again. We thank you for this wonderful day you give to us. Soon we'll be in the month of December, they set aside for the birth of our Lord and Savior. We thank you so much to know him personally. And we thank you for the fact that we can know you personally through him. And thank you for the privilege to be able to preach and teach on the subject of the day of the precious Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts and writes the Word of God that was on tablets and in written print on the depths of our heart and soul. And I pray today you'd be honored and blessed as we look into your word to help in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think you may be seated. If you will, take your Bible to start with and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. And before we read this verse and a few verses, I'm going to not read as many as I would have to start with. I'll give you some to read later. But I want to speak about the day that God, the Holy Spirit, we hear a lot about him. We hear a lot of people who say they manifest him. But I want you to let's look at the scriptures and pray God help us about the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, for 4,000 years, God our Father dealt with his history and mankind as he developed things and his plan and his purpose. In dealing, he spoke directly to some people. He set up different men. He also set up prophets, and we come down to a time that after the flood, you get down to the book of Genesis, that he also called out Abraham, a man, established a nation, and decreed that from that nation he would begin to do what needed to be done to bless the world even to the end of the age. In that nation, we know God dealt with Israel through prophets, priests, and the system Dr. Money's been talking about, the tabernacle. He dealt with human beings, who we get down to Malachi. Then for 400 years, no one heard anything about God from him that we know of. 400 years elapsed in there between the Old and the New Testament. Many things in history took place, but the voice of God was silent. And then suddenly we see, after 4,000 years, that Jesus Christ came upon the scene. So we see God. By the way, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit involved with all of these, but in the Old Testament, they're minimized to a point of prophecy or some few things the Holy Spirit had some things to do that came in and out. It indwelled people. Then when Jesus Christ came, nearly 2,000, about 2,000, a little over 2,000 years ago now, around 2,000 plus, he was here for 33 and a half years. And so we see now God dealing to this earth with his son going towards Calvary to pay the sin debt. Then after Jesus died and was buried and rose again, of course, the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit of God. And what an amazing thing. We see in the Old Testament, you heard the missionary say the other night when he was talking about in the Old Testament, the kill of Moses and the prophets. When Jesus came, which was the Son of God, also mentioned about the fellow who owned the vineyard, son was sent, they killed him. But on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit of God, which no man can kill. No one can see him. And the only thing they do is hinder him through those who have him dwelling in them. And so when I get down to think about what the Holy Spirit's doing today, I need to know a little bit more about him. In the New Testament history, God sends his son, and then when his son dies, is buried, and rose again, went back to the Father, fulfilled what is needed. Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. And up to now, God's word was written. Well, up to that time, when the Holy Spirit came, God's word was written in stone or tablets we know of, or in printed word. And then when Jesus came, went back to be with the Father, Holy Spirit inspired the written word we have today and kept it intact so that we can know exactly what God wanted us to do, be, and perform. We have to be something before we can do something, and the scripture certainly teaches us that. So today the Holy Spirit writes his word on our hearts by studying God's inspired word. So now I want to take a little journey and talk about the Holy Spirit of God. And when we talk about him today, to get to know him in some way, maybe better than before. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, God's word says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed," and by the way, 1 Corinthians teaches us he reveals them to us, "belongs to us and to our children forever." In this case, he's talking to the nation of Israel, which God's chosen people. In our day, if we'd read that, it'd be talking to the child of God who's been birthed into the family of God because we are his child or his children. He said, "Revealed, belonging to us, to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. They had to be who they were before they could do. And he says, now I'm going to give you what is needed to be done, and you have it before you, and that will bring a relationship with me. Now, in John chapter 14, we move to the New Testament because we're dealing with us in the age of grace, and we know the act that we have to do is receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But I want you to know that the last thing, that Jesus said to his disciple in the upper room, just before he was arrested in Matthew chapter 25 and 26, he talked about the Holy Spirit of God. And now he's carrying that further in detail, as we see in John chapter 14 and verse 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither doth knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you look down and read the rest of these verses, sake of time, because we need today, you can read put together a little more as a tie-in. Let's go to verse 26, and he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then you look in chapter 16 and look in verse 7. Jesus said this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And amazing, he said over in chapter 14 that he said God will send him, but now Jesus said he would send him. It doesn't matter, both of them are God. Amen. It doesn't matter. And so he goes on, and down through, if you look down in verse 8 through a few verses, he said verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Read the rest of these for your time, and you can tie it together. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine, therefore say I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. And notice in verse 14, he said, he will glorify me, for he shall receive the mine and shall show it unto you. God, the Holy Spirit. God, I've spent some time the last few weeks, a number of weeks, into this thing. And as I see Jesus telling these disciples in that upper room that night, he had just washed their feet. He just showed his humility to them. Here is the Creator, God, bowing down before the creation and showing humility in such a way that he would do what he did in cleansing their feet that particular night. Then we see him now talking about the Holy Spirit. One thing was this, that he talked about, I'm dealing about that. This is the night before the crucifixion. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. Jesus introduces these disciples to the Holy Spirit by definition and by what was going to happen. They hadn't seen him as of yet, as he's talking about at this time. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a person. And this is something we have to understand, because there are people, they talk about it being a force rather than being a person. You find the pronouns given to him that is needed as to do with a masculine being. And first of all, he's not water, but he cleanses like water. He's not fire, but he warms like fire. He's not a bird or a dove. He's like a dove. When John saw him descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Holy Spirit is a person. I must understand that. It's a person that I cannot see like I see you. It's a person that no one's ever seen probably in this life until God did some miraculous thing. But that person you cannot see lives in you if you're saved. Amen. And these things about him can happen. You can grieve him. You can really, we'll look at that in just a few minutes. A lot of things can take place. You know why? He's a person. He can speak. Did you know he can speak louder than you and I can? He's got the voice of God. If he would speak like he could in God, he'd do like the Israel on the mountain that time when he spoke to Israel and they shook and fear came from because of the quake and so forth that took place from his voice. He can speak. We can have a relationship with him. In John 14, verse 26, he said, the Comforter will be sent. In John 16, verse 7 and 13, he'll guide you and he'll glorify me, verse 14, he says. In other words, God's standards work when they're obeyed like any other standard. And when God sets a standard and you meet it, it works. If you don't meet it, don't work. It brings chaos. As a matter of fact, I'm amazed I don't understand a standard. Some people say, well, he's talking about this thing and not this thing. He'll talk about, listen, you take a pound and you can use that standard on anything. You can weigh a pound of cotton. You can weigh a pound of dirt. You can weigh a pound of iron. You can weigh a pound of gold. I mean, the standard would do anything. Some people say, well, it's just talking about one thing. No, God's standard would show there's things that he sets forth that can be used in a lot of ways for Christians to understand what they should be doing. So there's four quick things I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit of God? There's a lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit in the religious world today. Yet there is a lot that we can learn about him. Why? Because he's family. Now, I said something Wednesday night, a little bit, and didn't get into it because of this message, about the history of my family back when, traced back recently in a museum over here in Coates to 1774 or the early 1770s. And what amazes me about this, the more I've heard in past of my family, the more I realize who they were and how important they were. And yet at the time when you see more you learn about your family, the more you find out about them, the more you love and realize things going on that you didn't know before. We're family, and this book is our definition of what a family is. This book is our information. More you read this book, more you understand how a family operates as far as God is concerned. If you ever look at your genealogy and go back, you're going to see some things in your family you didn't ever know before, and you'll be glad you did know them because it helps you understand your family. And same way the Holy Spirit. Through God's Word, he helps us understand when it comes to family. So there's a lot of misunderstanding, and yet there's a lot that we can understand of him. For instance, according to the Watchtower paper by the Jehovah Witness, July the 15th, 1957, 432-3 statement. Here's what they said. God's Holy Spirit is not God, is not a member of the Trinity, not equal with God, not even a person. It's an active force of God like a radar beam. I've got news for you, that is not true. If it's like a radar beam, you and I may not have it. I'm glad he's a person, and I'm glad he cannot be seen, but he can live in us. I'm glad that God is so great he creates, but in the Holy Spirit he can live in our hearts. Isn't that an amazing thing? And I thank God for that. And when I see, you see, God the Holy Spirit is not just a force. It's not just an energy. It's not just a power of some kind or effect. God the Holy Spirit is not even like a physical body you and I in today. But being characterized with a conscious having more sense and being the possession of a personality. There are at least 10 pronouns that the Holy Spirit referred to in the Bible. The Holy Spirit possesses the characteristics of a person. He has knowledge, he has wisdom, he has love, he has will. As a matter of fact, if you look in 1 Corinthians, please turn there with me, and you see the Apostle Paul, which we've said many times, may not mean as much as it does now, about the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 10, but God has revealed them, that is the things that are written in verse 9, to the child of God. He's revealed them to us by his Spirit. Hey, there's no wind or force can reveal anything to us except there's a power behind it. Amen? It can't talk and tell me one thing. I may be scared of it, but it's because what I see, not because what I know about it. If the wind is down in Florida somewhere, it bothers me, but don't bother me like it would be here in Johnson County. So I move by the force of the way. I know that, but the Holy Spirit is a person. That is, he can communicate with you and I. His knowledge and wisdom. You know, go on, he said, but he searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, say the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. But we, the child of God, he's talking about, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us to God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if the Holy Spirit is not a spirit and could not commune to us and talk to us, we wouldn't know one thing about God, because the wind doesn't tell me anything about God except his dangers went out of control. It's a force. And God's more than that. Of course, I'm glad to tell you, hey, the wind obeys our God. Its laws, what he says, it set them up to do and so forth. And so the Holy Spirit does the work of a person. He speaks and he guides and he teaches and he forbids and he searches and he inspires. The Holy Spirit suffers the injuries of a person when you do that. In other words, the individual can make the Holy Spirit grieve. Holy Spirit can suffer in us when things are not what they ought to be before God Almighty. And one day we'll stand before the Lord. He grieves in Ephesians 4:30. He can be insulted in Mark 3, verse 9, because you can blaspheme him against the Holy Spirit. He can be lied to, like in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, when Ananias and Sapphira lied about giving, and God killed them on the spot. And the Holy Spirit, if you go and look at that verse, you'll see that in Acts chapter 5, what Peter said to those people that time. It amazes me in chapter 5 and down about verse let me see, me lied to it. Chapter 5, verse 3. And I lost my place here. He said, and he gave heed unto them, expecting something. No, I'm in 3, chapter 5. I'm sorry. If I get in 5, I'll be all right, won't I? Amen. He said in verse 3, but he said, Peter had said, Ananias, why hast thou, Satan, filled thy heart to lie at the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why, it remains in thy hand, you had control of it, and so forth. And goes on, he set forth that in turn. And then in verse 9, he said, then Peter said to her, how is it that ye agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have bared thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. I'm saying you can lie to the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. And also, the Holy Spirit is divine. He has divine nature called of God. We see that in Acts 4. He possesses attributes of God. He creates. He performs. He performs miracles. The Holy Spirit invites you to come into Christ. Revelation 22, verse 17. He said, the bride said, come, and the Spirit said, come. As a matter of fact, the first voice you heard any of the Word of God was the Holy Spirit calling us to the Lamb of God. And even when John cried out, behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. It's the Holy Spirit had to reveal that just because he said it wouldn't make any difference. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us that he is the Lamb of God. And thank God for just that. I see the Holy Spirit invites us to him. So number one, who is the Holy Spirit? He is a person, the third part of the Godhead. Number two, he's my comforter. That's what John says. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16, 18, 26, and chapter 16, verse 7. He said, he'll convince me of sin. He'll reprove me of sin. He can and did save my soul when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. John 1:12 was just assuredly by the Holy Spirit as by Jesus when he said it. To the ministers receive him, to them gave power to become sons of God. September 27, 1959. Had it not been for the Holy Spirit doing in the age of grace what God said he would do, I'd probably never heard the gospel. I never felt the drawing power. I didn't see one day just got up and say, you know, I'm going to get saved today. No. Most of the time, I wasn't thinking about being saved. I was thinking about other things. But I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, began to draw, you begin to realize, hey, there's something here more than me. And God did this for us. So he is my comfort. Number three, the Holy Spirit is my friend. The Holy Spirit is not a weird, some spook part of the Godhead. Most people look at it that way that don't know who he is. He's a reality. There are evidence of the Holy Spirit's power, his love, his fruit, his gifts. The Holy Spirit does not try to scare us. He tries to draw us to the Lamb of God. Then teach us God's divine will. Did you know this book not only tells us he's going to draw us, but ladies and gentlemen, this book is full of the Word of God to teach us God's divine will. And tells us, I'll help you do it, son, if you'll submit to me. And be what you want to be, and then you'll do what you want to do. Number four, the Holy Spirit is my God also. I have no problem with my God who is my Heavenly Father. Do you? I have no problem with that. I have no problem with Jesus Christ, who is my God and my Savior, who has made it possible to live with our Heavenly Father one of these days. I have no problem with the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Trinity. This also makes him my God and also the one that lives in my heart. I want you to note that when the Godhead is mentioned, all three are mentioned at one time. I don't understand how people get away from that. I've had people stand in my face and say, wait a minute, Holy Spirit and all three are not there. There's no such thing as the Trinity. There's time and time again, this Bible tells us all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in the same place. And there's no way in this world that you could ever convince me that God the Father is God the Son, and when he's God the Son, he's down here praying to him, so he prays to him, saying, run back to heaven and be God the Father. It don't work that way. When he's a son on this earth in a body of flesh, he's praying to God the Father, and God the Father's there, and he's on this earth. And the Holy Spirit is coming to help us understand those wonderful truths. So I have no problem understanding who he is. And when I see the Godhead, the Holy Spirit's there. In John 14, 6, Jesus the Father and another comforter is there together. Jesus talks about the comforter that his Father is going to send to him, to them. In John 14, in verse 26, in John 15, verse 26, all three of the Godhead are there. In Luke 3, verse 22, all three of the Godhead are present when Jesus was baptized. You see Jesus himself being baptized. You see the dove come as the Holy Spirit, and you hear from heaven the voice of God who said, this is my son. All three are there at one time. In Acts 5, 3 and 4, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit about giving, and he suffered the consequence of death at that time. So in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, I see what he says again to rehearse my mind as I look. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children and forever, that we may do the works, the words of his law. Notice the words of his law. Then I see, if I want to tie that together, in 2 John, he tells me in verse 9, he says, whoso transgresseth, that is, outsteppeth the law, outsteppeth the divine boundaries of God, whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in, notice the word abide, that's a living. You settle down. That's where your life's at. Abiding is a lifestyle. A child of God doesn't have a lifestyle of doing these things. But he said, if you see someone come in, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. But if he abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. It's obvious. Some people say, well, you don't have to believe in Christ to believe in God. You better believe in Christ to believe in God. You'll never know who the real God is. When you listen by radio, wherever, there's just no way that you can ever approach the living God as he is today without trusting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. God has sanctioned that in the life of the individual. So I look as a man, Jesus Christ. As a man, the servant of God was directed in power to do his work by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also descended upon him at his baptism in Luke chapter 3, verse 21-22. The identity, identified him to John as the promised Christ in John 1, in verse 32-34. In other words, when the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, it identified to John, this is the real Messiah. This is the one that should come. And the Holy Spirit was involved with that in the shape of a dove. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do his work, Isaiah 61 and 1 through 3. And it showed him as a man that came from heaven and came into this world through Mary's womb. Also in Matthew 4:1, the power of the Spirit was upon him as a man in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. This great wisdom from the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 11, 1-9, he said, as a man, he performed his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12:28. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then that shows you the kingdom of God has come unto you. You see, you can't bypass Jesus Christ and say you got God the Father and the Son. You're going to have all, or you can't bypass the Holy Spirit and say you got Jesus Christ and the Father. If you do, how do you get Jesus Christ? It's the Holy Spirit that reveals it. How do I know that? That's what Jesus said when I read those first few verses. I'm going to send him to you so you will know who he is, and he'll tell you about me and teach you all things about me. He'll glorify me, not himself. He'll glorify me. And when he does that, what a joy to see. So he baptizes apostles with the Holy Spirit. Jesus did, Luke 3:16 and John 1:33 and Acts 1:1-8. The Holy Spirit revealed also to them the things of Jesus Christ. In John 14, we just read, number, and you read the rest, John 14, 16 and 17, 15, 26, 27, 16, 13, chapter 16, verse 13 and 15. And what's amazing about this, Jesus Christ said that the Holy Ghost would do certain things when he comes. He's going to reprove the world of sin. Isn't it amazing? That which you cannot see will reprove the world of sin. Well, you can't see God also, but he's there. He's going to let us know when things are wrong. And aren't you glad? Listen, a person not saved don't have the Holy Spirit. So they're running on auto flesh all the time. But you and I who have been saved, ladies and gentlemen, have the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, he said, that Holy Spirit is given to you along with the word he inspired. So between the two, you can hear the voice of God through the word by the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And you don't tell me, if you get in this book and stay with it and study it, you'll find there are some things God will press your heart about. Press your heart about. I was looking at something the other night for sleeping. A lot of times I try to go to sleep and I sing and do different things. And I went to the book of Proverbs and also the book of Psalms. And I found where a place, God said, if I do a certain thing, he'd give me sweet sleep. I've been practicing that here lately. It works. It works. Amen. Better than counting sheep, I'll tell you that. I get counting, I may lose a count because my mind's not good. It's slipping. I may say 1, 2, 3, 5. Got to start over again. Amen. But anyhow, I know this. God's word works, ladies and gentlemen. These truths may be beyond our full comprehension, but we must believe them. They are plainly taught in the scriptures. 1 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired of God. We must not go beyond an expectation or speculation. 2 John 9 again, you look in verse 9, he tells us that we need to be sure about the doctrine of Christ and be know what that is in our life. We must not go beyond that. Obedience proves that we are the children of God. How God helps us understand and guides us and molds us and gets us to look at life through obedience. Now, love, this morning, like I'm talking about how we bow when we even come to the labor. This thing, somebody said, well, God saved me, maybe a child of God makes me something. No, he doesn't. He makes us children of God, and thank God for that, ladies and gentlemen. We still don't deserve it. You know, we don't deserve it. Not a one of us deserve being saved. Aren't you glad God loves us enough and we did what Jesus said to do, what God said to do, he'd save us? I am. I'm glad. I know this. Humbleness brings you down to a place that where God can really speak to your heart. And when I see Jesus, the Son of God, bowing down before those that he had created, washing their feet, you can't get no humble on that. And if he's willing to practice that, and he says he is, as he laid aside his reputation, came to this earth to do what he do, then there should be some humbleness in our day. And I think we have more pride today probably than America's ever had, because we've been blessed so much through the years. And where the Holy Spirit is, there's liberty. The writer of the Bible speaks that they were moved by him. We are warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to quench the Holy Spirit. The sin against him is unpardonable. Why? Because he tells us that a sin against him, unless the man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's only one way a person can be born again. And when a person finds himself going against him, the Holy Spirit of God, the unpardonable sin, because sin against him is against the only one who can reveal the Son of God. If a man rebels against the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, he's the only one that can reveal them who the Son of God is. He's the only one that can introduce them to the Heavenly Father. And when a person, that's the reason you find you can be forgiven everything in this world except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit of God. When you blaspheme him, who else are you going to go to? There's no one else. You can blaspheme God's name. Jesus said, you can blaspheme my name, but you can't blaspheme the name of the Holy God in the sense of saying, no, I don't need him to get to God. And when you do, you're headed for hell. So we have to understand, God's not playing around with this stuff when it comes to Christianity and who Jesus is and what the Holy Spirit has done for us. So unless a man, Jesus said, is born of the Spirit, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3 through 5. Jesus said that. So we're convicted by him. We're born again by him. We're led by him. We're filled by him. We're sealed by him. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. The scripture backs all these truths up. Someone said, you don't have to go to church to get saved. I hear that on visitation a lot of times. You don't have to go to church to get saved. No, you don't have to go to church to get saved. I ran across a little slogan the other day that blessed me. Next time a person says something to me about not going to church to get saved, I'm going to tell them what I'm going to tell you. No, you don't have to go to church to get saved. It's more convenient in the end if you are at church. I mean, you don't have to go to a funeral home to die, but it's more convenient if you're there if you die in a funeral home. Amen. You don't have to travel as far. What am I saying? You can be saved anywhere, but thank God for the church that brings us together in a unit towards serving God. Thank God for a place that reminds us with the Word of God that we have someone who's instructed us, and we're not our own. He bought us. He paid a price for us, and the Holy Spirit reveals us that. So we have to learn to be, to walk with him, to do. He inspires the child of God to live for others and not for self. He says we have a comforter, and I close with a thought. And I began to look at that word, and I said, man, well, I looked at it, great God, and the Holy Spirit just swelled it up in your heart. The word comforter is a Greek word that, of course, most, if you've done much study in words, you find it's setting for a paracletus. And a paracletus is simply an ancient warrior team years ago in the Greek and in battles of soldiers. When two soldiers were together, they went in pairs. And the reason they went in pairs, so one could back the other. And so if I was standing here, and Brother Ken was standing back looking that way, then I would be his paraclete, and he would be my paraclete, looking after each other in battle. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, when Jesus talked about the comforter coming, it's declared paraclete. That's what he said, I'm there with you in the battle. If you have biblical and what it should be, if you do what I say do, I want you to know, I will defend you either here or in heaven. Makes no difference. You talk about those being killed over in Jordan or somewhere. They were killed back a few months ago. They talk about those men got killed. Hey, it looked like the ones who did the killing won, but they're not faced the judge yet. That's what I'm saying to you. If you be sure you're biblical. Stay in this book. Be sure you're biblical. You do it biblically, and God will defend it either now or at the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne judgment for those who have not been saved. And I thank God for that back to back as a warrior. And so the Holy Spirit is our battle partner to help us in this life. You and I have most intimidated who go out and try to win souls now. I think it's the most intimidating time I've ever seen. I've been serving God 15 years, and I'll be honest with you, I have never seen what exactly you see now. People nowadays, they don't care one thing about God. If they don't love God and don't care about God, they don't mind letting you know that. And that's intimidating. But I know this. God says, hey, they may cut your head off, but I'm still backing you. Holy Spirit didn't run just because they cut those men's head off. The Holy Spirit don't run because you and I face things either. He's there in this Word of God is the only thing that I got have to deal with in this life. And as I use this book, I bow down for him and know for a fact we have the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I don't know where you work at, but I guarantee you there's people there, if you're saved, and say anything about the Lord, they will not have you around. Where were you at? They don't care about God, they will not have you around. Because somehow or another, if the Holy Spirit living in you, he's going to bring out something about God. Somewhere or another. And when you do, you find yourself being attacked or find yourself being intimidated. And when you do, you feel like that, I don't know, Lord. Have you ever prayed and seemed like God just didn't do anything? And I find this out, though. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the day I got saved, I have one taking care of my back. You have one taking care of your back. In other words, he's there. And that's the reason I know. When Jesus said, I'll never leave you forsake you, he gave us the Spirit of God to prove he meant what he said. Because the Holy Spirit represents Christ in us to do what we need to do because we are who we are. Would you stand to your feet, please? Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you again for studying a little bit about the Holy Spirit that lives in me, that lives in us who are saved. Every child here is born again, that is born again, has the Holy Spirit living in them. And we thank you for that. Thank you for understanding our age. I don't know the mechanics about it. I just know what the Word of God has said. And I accept the fact, as I'm older now than I was when I got saved, the Lord, 58 years ago, there's something about learning about my family. Something about learning about you and how you work, what you tell us to do and not do. And God says this world hates you. Don't become like the world. The world's your enemy to start with, but love your enemies. Holy Spirit of God, help us understand that every individual we see, I don't care where they're at or what nationality they are, there's a convicting power of the Spirit of God. They need the gospel. Somehow we had to get to it. Maybe we can't talk to all of them, but there's ways we can get to them with the gospel. Open those doors and let us do what we need to do while we're here. Soon this life will be over. Bless everyone that's here today. Help us go back into the world with a fresh new look of this world like the Holy Spirit wants us to see it that lives in us. I know this, praise be in your holy name, when Jesus hung on the cross and people are yapping at him and calling all names, if thou be the Christ, come down, all of those snares and remarks were made. Jesus, the creator of that which was cussing him, that one that was denying him, one that had put him to the cross, and yet he laid his life down, understand that. But he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. That's the Holy Spirit, Lord, helping us to see what Jesus had because he's to represent the Lamb of God to us in this life. Help someone be helped today. May someone who hadn't thought lately to look himself in the mirror and say, I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Holy Spirit, help me learn what I need to learn. for my last days here on this earth. For that's the only thing that matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.